The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Better Homes and Gardens, Good Housekeeping, Martha Stewart Living, Real Simple, and Woman's Day. And first, we begin with this one from Woman's Day, Time to Burst the Bubble. We don't want you ending up in a sticky situation on Chewing Gum Day, September 30th. So we asked gastroenterologist Roshini Rajapaksa to reveal the truth about gum urban legends. The legend, gum takes 7 years to digest in your stomach. That's a myth. We don't actually digest gum at all. It passes through our systems basically intact in about 1.5 to 2 days. Legend number two, it's dangerous to swallow gum even once. Well, that's a myth too. It is not harmful to swallow gum. However, if you were to swallow a huge amount of gum in a short period of time, it could congeal into a sticky mass and cause an intestinal blockage. And the last legend, chewing gum can be good for you. This she marks true. Sugar-free gum can help prevent tooth decay. Just keep in mind that gum containing xylitol can cause issues like bloating for some people. From Real Simple, green up your grocery run. Load your cart with fresh foods to claim big wins for the environment. Yes, it really can be that simple. Eating more plants is one of the greenest things you can do, and fortunately, one of the easiest. But burger and steak lovers need not despair. Sustainable-minded shoppers can just think of this simple idea. Skipping one serving of beef a week for a year can theoretically reduce your carbon footprint as much as driving 348 fewer miles in a car. So, get to less. Here are some ideas. Buy local. Whenever possible, buy locally farmed or produced food. You'll minimize shipping, which saves greenhouse gas emissions and help support your community's economy. Shop farmers markets. Seasonal produce is usually fresher, more flavorful, and more nutritious because it's just been picked. Plus, prices are often on par with what's in the grocery store. Also consider buying a share in a CSA, that's Community Supported Agriculture Program, which will get you a season's worth of local produce. If you're worried you won't be able to eat it all, ask if the CSA sells partial or customizable shares to swap out unwanted items. Next, cut back on meat and dairy. When it comes to greenhouse gas emissions, ruminant animals like cattle, sheep, and goats are the worst offenders, says Sophie Egan, E-G-A-N, author of How to Be a Conscious Eater. Livestock are responsible for about 14.5% of global emissions, with cattle representing 65% of that. Switching from beef and lamb to chicken or pork can help reduce your carbon footprint, as can consuming fewer dairy products like cow's milk. When you do buy meat, Egan recommends looking for a third-party certification, such as Animal Welfare Approved, Certified Humane Raised and Handled, Animal Welfare Certified, or American Grass-Fed on the label, and reduce waste by using up every bit you can. Make stock from the bones, for example. Next, eat more veggies. Upping your intake of produce, whether organic or conventionally farmed, is a big step toward a healthier, more sustainable lifestyle, says Elena Chernina, author of, I'll spell it, C-H-E-R-N-I-L-A, author of Eating from the Ground Up, recipes for simple, perfect vegetables. Fresh foods can go bad quickly, so plan meals in advance, even if you just make a loose outline, and only buy ingredients you'll use. Each year, the average American family throws out more than $1,800 worth of food, including produce. Next, store it right. Keep food in quality containers so it stays fresh longer, and eat leftovers to cut back on waste. Don't overstuff your fridge either. Proper air circulation helps keep produce fresh. Stock your freezer with things you can't eat right away. You'll be surprised at what can handle frosty temps. Guacamole, cooked rice, even wine. Freeze your wine in ice cube trays and use for cooking. To feel even more virtuous, Chernila suggests learning how to use parts of the food you'd normally trash, like broccoli stems and beet and cauliflower leaves. Read the fine print. At the supermarket, look for signs that point out which fruits and veggies were grown nearby. When you can, limit items shipped by air, which contributes to greenhouse gas emissions. Asparagus, berries, and green beans tend to be among the jet set. Read the tiny sticker on the fruit or veggie. The farther away the country of origin, the greater the travel-related emissions. If grocers notice less demand for far-flung fruits, they may stop ordering as many. And pass on the packaging. Pre-chopped fruits and veggies are convenient, but they are usually more expensive and have way more packaging. Try reusable produce bags or toss loose ingredients like apples, onions, and citrus right into your cart. If you do take those thin plastic baggies from the produce section, reuse them, Chernila says. If you can't buy fresh produce, then jarred, canned, or frozen is the next best option, and a better choice than piling more meat onto your family's meals. And if you do just one thing, choose one day a week to eat meatless. For extra credit, buy ugly fruit. It's a tomato, not a matinee idol. Misshapen fruits and vegetables are just as nutritious as their pristine counterparts, and buying them keeps imperfectly good food from going to waste. From Good Housekeeping, it's time to hit the books. Here are some of their recommendations for your reading pleasure. First, a feel-good read called Seeing Ghosts by Kat Chow, C-H-O-W. After her mother dies unexpectedly from cancer, Kat, her father, and her sisters have to make sense of a world without her. This stirring memoir follows three generations of Chows from China to Hong Kong, Cuba, and the U.S. in a narrative that grapples with how grief affects a family. But this book is more about the complexity of what holds a family together than the sadness of loss. It's both an intensely personal look into Chow's experience and a journey that will feel intimately familiar to anyone who has lost a loved one. As after sitting down and having a long talk with a good friend, you'll come away buoyed by the solidarity of realizing that we all struggle and the comfort that comes with understanding each other's plights. Next, a dark comedy called All's Well by Mona Awad, A-W-A-D. Miranda's marriage is over, and her job as a college theater director is in peril. In short, her life is in shambles, all because of debilitating nerve pain from the accident that ended her acting career. She'd do anything to make it go away. Then three strange benefactors offer to do just that in this dark, darkly comedic and uniquely unsettling story. Next, a short story collection, After Parties, by Anthony Vesnaso, V-E-A-S-N-A-S-O. These immersive short stories offer readers a sweeping and often funny look into a California-Cambodian-American community. Characters struggle with the shadow of the Khmer Rouge genocide, their own sexuality, and conflicts related to family and friendship. These snippets of life in all its complexity will resonate long after you turn the last page. Next, Domestic Suspense. It's The Husbands by Chandler Baker, B-A-K-E-R. When Nora Spangler and her husband go house hunting in an exclusive neighborhood, she meets a group of women whose partners are almost too supportive. After agreeing to look into a wrongful death case there, she finds that there's something sinister behind those white picket fences. This gender-swapping Stepford Wives story is as creepy as it is delicious. Next, a fantasy called Shallow Waters by Anita Kopacz, K-O-P-A-C-Z. This mystical and inspiring novel follows Yemaya, an Orisha deity as a young woman who travels to mid-1800s America. She challenges the rules of time and place as she journeys on the Underground Railroad searching for Obatala, a man who sacrifices his own freedom for hers, meeting historical figures along the way. Infused with magic, empowering with black resilience and feminine power, it's as fresh as it is timeless. An inspiring self-help book called Roar, R-O-A-R, by Michael Clinton, C-L-I-N-T-O-N. Take a crack at reinvention with this insightful book that will serve as a map towards a more purposeful next chapter in life. Through personal stories and interviews with dozens of people who made big changes, the author nudges you to consider what hobbies, travel, running, could become something more, and how you can use your existing skill set in new ways. Next, a piece of historical fiction called In the Country of Others by Leila Slimani, S-L-I-M-A-N-I. During World War II, Frenchwoman Matilda falls in love with Moroccan soldier Emini. When they return to Morocco after the war, they face isolation, poverty, and the country's repressive social codes. As tensions mount between the French colonists and Moroccans, the couple reckon with gender roles both in society and within their own family. Next, a romantic romp called Ghosts by Dolly Alderton, A-L-D-E-R-T-O-N. Nina finds her own home and has an active social life and a thriving career. When she meets smart, sexy Max, everything's falling into place. That is, until he ghosts her months into their relationship. Then Nina has to confront the not-so-rosy stuff, her father's worsening Alzheimer's, her mother's denial, and her best friend's growing distance. Nina's story is funny, poignant, and almost too relatable. And last, a family drama called The Turnout by Megan Abbott, A-B-B-O-T-T. Something dark lurks beneath the satin toe shoes and elegant relevés at the Durant School of Dance in this novel, which is as tightly wound as a dancer's bun. Sisters Marie and Dara run the school with Charlie, Dara's husband, in a balance that starts to shift after a tragic accident at the school. As everything begins to fall apart, the trio have to face their own demons. From Real Simple, My Simple Realization, Boredom is What My Brain Needed. One recent morning when I set out for my usual run, I turned on the news podcast I subscribe to and the sound started to go fuzzy. I stopped in my tracks, immediately frustrated because even though my run is one of my favorite parts of the day, I knew I would have to abandon it if there was something wrong with my earbuds. How could I possibly exercise without something to listen to? I got the earbuds working, but throughout the day and the next several days, I noticed how much I'd been pairing my routines with something to listen to, always with the intent of making the task more pleasurable. Before I got in the shower, I turn on a podcast. Vacuuming or folding laundry? Perfect time for an audiobook. I couldn't even brush my teeth before bed without someone chattering in my ear. The COVID outbreak made things worse. Given the 24/7 togetherness with the family, I discovered shamefully that I could be alone by popping in my earbuds. What better way to tune out the sound of my husband chewing yet another handful of Triscuits? I had a moment of reckoning one Sunday evening. We'd been spending our stay-at-home time building a backyard clubhouse for the kids, and I was outside painting all day. By the time I finished, I was physically and mentally exhausted. I felt fried in the way I do after a long day of writing, and as I stood in the kitchen, looking at my phone, it was easy to see why. I had spent 6 hours listening to audiobooks. Was it entertaining and enlightening and fun? Yes, but 6 hours? The next day, as I clipped on the dog's leashes for a walk, I decided to forego the phone. Instead, I would be in the moment. Try as I did to relax, to notice the birds chirping and the sun filtering through the trees, I was mostly just bored. but by the time I circled back home, I felt calmer and clearer, as if the fog that often clouded my thoughts had evaporated. I could actually hear myself think. Maybe boredom was what my brain needed. I love that in any moment I can tap a button and listen to Michelle Obama talk about parenthood, or hear David Sedaris narrate his latest book. But it's also a fact of modern life that having a fire hose of entertainment at our fingertips means it's all too easy to distract ourselves right out of our own minds. I still can't run without my earbuds, but I've started to shower in silence and brush my teeth and walk the dogs. Now I notice the clinking of the dogs' tags against their collars, the sound of my own breath, even and steady. And I know that even if it's a little dull, it's a moment of stillness, a chance to be alone with my thoughts, maybe the only one I'll get all day. And this was Kristen Kuzek Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, who has written 4 novels, including Perfect Happiness. She is Real Simple's contributing books editor. From Good Housekeeping, jump into your day. So the AM isn't your cup of tea or coffee. In her new book, Own Your Morning, Women's Health Editor Women's Health Editor-in-Chief, let me get this right, Liz Baker Plosser, P-L-O-S-S-E-R, and the book Own Your Morning. She says it can be your cup of tea, that is. Try her wake-up workout tips, which will set a can-do tone for the rest of your day. When your alarm rings first thing in the morning, you may just want to groan, roll over, and go back to sleep. And I totally get that. I feel it too. But I've discovered that when I work in a workout first thing in the morning, I feel so much better for the rest of the day. I'm focused, clear-headed, and much calmer. If you want to sample the endorphin high that follows a sunrise sweat, but don't consider yourself a morning person, trust me, it gets easier and better as your body becomes accustomed to the perks that movement unlocks. Brooke Baldwin, a former CNN anchor and author of Huddle, I'll spell her name, B-A-L-D-W-I-N, says about her morning workout, I love that by 8 a.m. I know I've already done the hardest physical thing I'll do all day. So throw anything my way. Bring it on, world. Here, 5 strategies to get you strong. Get you going strong. First, set a goal. Think of something that would be really cool to do. A handstand, a dance routine, a pull-up. Then come up with a plan for how to get there. Keeping your eyes on the prize can be the inspiration you need to get out of bed, and checking it off your list will give you the confidence to face any other challenges that morning. Make yourself accountable. I like to share my fitness goals on Instagram. Then I'm committed to making them happen. Tell your friends, tweet about it, or hire a trainer to work with you. When you remember that you've announced your morning workout plan to someone else, it will give you that extra little push to get out of bed. Eat for energy. If you need a breakfast bite, not everyone likes to eat before exercise, and that's fine. Choose simple carbs that break down quickly, along with small amounts of protein and fat. Some great options: almonds and a small orange, or peanut butter with toast, a banana, or fruit leather. Get in a quickie. Slept through your alarm, no worries. You need only 10 minutes for my go-to workout. Do 1 minute of jump squats with your feet a little wider than hip width. Squat down, then jump high. Then 1 minute of whatever kind of push-ups you can do. Alternate for 10 minutes total. Rest and take water breaks as needed. And celebrate. I finish each workout with a go me, or a high five, or a jump into the air. Each victory boosts confidence, and that sense of accomplishment pushes you to tackle the next thing on your agenda. So let the morning kudos give you momentum for the rest of the day. From Martha Stewart Living, tomato and brie tart. We need unbleached all-purpose flour for dusting, 8 ounces puff pastry or 1 sheet out of a package, preferably all butter, 12 ounces mixed tomatoes, such as beefsteak and heirloom, cut into 1/4-inch thick rounds, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, 2 tablespoons Dijon mustard, 4 ounces brie, sliced quarter inch thick, 1 tablespoon capers drained, 1 teaspoon fresh thyme leaves plus sprigs for serving, optional, 1 tablespoon extra virgin olive oil, and dressed salad greens for serving, also optional. Preheat oven to 400. With a rack in center, on a lightly floured sheet of parchment, roll pastry out to a 9.5 by 11.5 inch rectangle, about 1/8 inch thick. Trim edges straight. Refrigerate on a baking sheet 10 minutes. Sprinkle tomatoes with salt. Arrange on a layer of paper towels. Top with more paper towels to absorb excess liquid. Score the edges of the pastry, creating a 1/2 inch border. Spread mustard inside the border, then top with cheese, tomatoes, capers, and thyme, overlapping the tomatoes slightly. Drizzle with oil, season with salt and pepper, and bake 15 minutes. Reduce the temperature to 375. Continue baking until golden brown and cooked through 25 to 35 minutes more. Sprinkle with thyme sprigs and serve warm or room temperature with greens. Active time 20 minutes, total time 1 hour and 10, and it serves 4. From Better Homes and Gardens, gather round. Picture it. The sky dims. The moon peeks through wispy clouds. Leaves rustle. That cool, crisp air can mean only one thing. It's time to go inside. Then come right back out with a tray of goodies for s'mores. It's fire pit season. A backyard fire is an instant party maker. It gives guests a place to chat, nibble, and linger. Here's how to make the most out of this must-have. And says, trend alert, fire pits are the new coffee table. Backyard fire features have been hot for several years, but they became a near mandatory thing during the pandemic when they allowed us to gather safely outside with a few friends, just not on summer or fall nights, but also well into winter. Add Sanity Saver to their list of selling points. First, a site guide. Check local codes and restrictions regarding allowable types, placement, and use of fire pits. Some require features like cooking grates, for example. Best practices. Place your fire pit somewhere level, free of any flammable debris, and protected from wind. Stone patios, brick pavers, and gravel make a sturdy, fire-resistant base, but you can also buy heat-shielding mats that will protect your decking and grass from heat damage. And they recommend 15 feet from trees, 7 feet from the chairs you're going to put around them, 10 to 20 feet from your house. Next, start a fire. I've long been a fire tending enthusiast, but I honed my skills by reading How to Build a Fire by J. Scott Donahue, D-O-N-A-H-U-E, says home editor Katie Click Condon. We trapped Donahue to share his no-fail formula, hair plus finger plus arm. The hair is the tinder, the fire's base, and key to success. Wrap fine strands of straw, dry grass, bits of paper or cotton, and even drier lint, into a fist-sized ball. Keep it loose. You want air gaps in there. The next layer is kindling, twigs no thicker than a finger. Then fuel with logs the size of your arm. To put it all together, we have 2 suggested arrangements. First, the teepee method. Lean kindling sticks against each other over a mound of tinder. Leave a small openings or doorways so you maintain good airflow and can add more tinder as needed. Light the tinder, and once the sticks catch fire, layer on more kindling, then another teepee of larger logs, keeping the doorways open. Or the log cabin method. It's a good method if it's a breezy day or you want to keep your log structure lower. Stack small logs, Lincoln log style, around a ball of tinder. Across the middle, add a few kindling sticks. Repeat for a few layers, making sure to build in plenty of gaps for air and adding more tinder. And Fireside cooking is an excellent excuse to flex your culinary creativity and elevate basic nibbles into interactive party tricks. First, roasted nuts. Pop a shelled salted nut mix into a cast iron skillet. Roast on a grate for 5 minutes or until fragrant and toasty, stirring often. Remove from heat and, if desired, sprinkle on seasonings like cinnamon sugar or any spice mix you fancy. Or try sweet, soft chestnuts. We started roasting chestnuts because there's a farm nearby, says food editor Emily Teal. But you can get fresh ones in stores as early as September. Don't wait for snow. Use a sharp knife to score an X into the bottom of each so steam escapes. Chestnuts are ready when they start to pop open. Cool 10 minutes, then peel while warm. Cheese board is another option. Build your cheese board with a few ingredients guests can turn into savory s'mores. Skewer chunks of a firm cheese like Gouda or sharp cheddar and briefly warm over the fire. Sandwich the melty cheese with sturdy crackers or grilled crostini, adding salami, prosciutto, and/or thin slices of pears or apples. And last, of course, the s'mores bar. In addition to the essential trio, which would be Hershey bars, graham crackers, and marshmallows, try new combos. Swap grahams for saltines or cookies, and use pumpkin spice or strawberry flavor marshmallows with caramel chocolate squares or peanut butter cups. From Woman's Day, coconut rice pudding. Active time is 5 minutes, total 2 hours and 35 minutes, and it serves 6. We need 2.5 cups reduced fat milk, 1 13.5-ounce can light coconut milk, not cream of coconut, light coconut milk, 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 cup arborio rice, 1/2 stick of cinnamon, 1 cup dried apricots, coarsely chopped, 1/4 cup pistachios, coarsely chopped. In a 5 to 6 quart slow cooker, whisk together the milk, coconut milk, and sugar. Stir in rice and the cinnamon stick. Cook on high, covered until rice is tender and mixture has thickened, 2 to 2.5 hours. Discard the cinnamon stick and stir in the apricots. Sprinkle with pistachios before serving. From Martha Stewart Living, smell the sea and fill the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly. That was Van Morrison from Into the Mystic. And from Woman's Day, a quote, "We cannot cure the world of sorrows, but we can choose to live in joy." And that was Joseph Campbell of the Joseph Campbell Foundation. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazine. Be sure and listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jean Latchall, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call at 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening.